case of not knowing what to do, how to do it, where to do it, and when to do it, and yet the Lord preserved you? Well, even when you think that you got where you are on your own, there are still some places you're trying to get to that you can't get to unless the Lord helps you get there. So you're going to understand simple in the sense of having a low estate, having or being weak or limited in ability to get the total life's needs met for oneself. The Bible says the Lord preserveth the simple. He said, I was brought low. Not many of us choose to fall. Not many of us choose to take the wrong way. Not many of us choose all the time to be in the predicaments that we are in. But sometimes God allows those things to happen for our better good. Notice the word says, I was brought low and he helped me. Now the fact that he was brought low meant that he himself did not totally and of himself make the conditions and or the situations. Sometimes circumstances come that way. If you don't believe it, just read the book of Job. Job was brought low. He didn't do anything wrong. Sometimes you will be brought low, not because you've been bad, not because you've done wrong, not because you've sinned, or not because you've missed it, but sometimes he wants to bring you low so he can lift you higher. And so he says, I was brought low. But can I tell you, when you are brought low, it has a way of bringing you closer to God. You think about the average one of us, when things are really going good in our lives and everything is well, how much do we really give to God in the way of praise? I mean, how much do we really take our time and make time to really give God the sincere praise of our heart? But let trouble come and let it unpack its bag at your door. And let it not go when you want it to go. And when the meager meals get more meager and it's steady eating up everything you got, just let trouble stay there long enough and it will drive you to your knees to talk to God a little longer than you would have talked to him if trouble were not around. Listen at this here. The Bible says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Now he's saying to his soul, because you need to understand, brothers and sisters, that where you are not, when your relationship with God is not in a place where you are in constant fellowship with God, there is no peace and rest in your soul. If you depart from God, either by the turning away of your own desires or walking in sin, there is a separation. And when there is a separation, there is a restlessness down in your bosom. And you can't do anything to fill that void but get back in a right fellowship with God. And he's saying, now that when I was down and the Lord raised me up and brought me back in the right fellowship with him, he says to his soul, now return unto thy rest. Why? Because it is well. And if it is well, then you don't have anything to worry about. So he tells his soul to rest because, listen at this, the Lord has dealt bountifully with him. And when I think about that, my soul rejoices. Because if you can't say for yourself that God has dealt bountifully, what is bountifully, Pastor? Bountifully means to give you more than you ought to have. Bountifully means exceeding, abundantly, more, extra. And in this region, lanyap. It means to give you a whole lot more than you deserve. It's an extra helping of something. Listen, he says, God has dealt bountifully with thee. When you look back and see all of the times that the Lord should have cut you off, and he didn't cut you off, you need to say to your soul, he's dealt with me bountifully. How many times have you been driving down the road and could have been killed, and all you had was a little scratch on you? He has bountifully. How many times when you've been down and didn't know if you'd ever get up again, and you thought it would be the end, and he gave you another chance? He has dealt bountifully with you. How many times have you been sick and it could have been the end, but he caused healing to come back into your body, raise you up again? He has dealt bountifully with you. future when you look back and see how God has dealt with you. I ain't talking about your loved ones. I'm talking about you. See, what bothers me so much, sometimes saints get in the church and they act like he ain't done nothing for me. I ain't really been all that bad. I've always been somewhat good. But can I tell you, somewhat good is not enough to get into the kingdom of God. You have got to be perfect. And because you were born in sin and shaping in iniquity, and you've been missing it ever since you've been here, the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. You've got some sins you don't even know about yet that he's going to show you, and yet he keeps looking beyond them and blessing you. He's dealt bountifully with you. Oh, when you think about Thanksgiving Day and the eating experience, it is a day of bountiful eating. You got more food. You couldn't take just a little bit of everything on your plate in one sitting. That's why you got to come back again and take a little nap and come back up. Oh, come on, talk to me, somebody. It's not like any other day's eating experience. It's bountiful because it is a day where you're saying, God, you've been good. And just as the bounty on the table is spread out there, when you think of his goodness, every day he's got new benefits and new blessings, and he spreads them out on the table for you and says, help yourself. I went to a buffet the other day, and the only reason why I went there was because the sign says we got 80 items on the buffet. Y'all ought to hear me here. I like bounty on the buffet, and that's what God has done for us bountifully. Bless us. Look at what he says. Verse 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Now look at this, because I need you to see, David is not talking about somebody externally. No enemy outside at this point. He's talking about eternalities in the internal parts of his makeup. He ain't talking about the flesh. You know, he saved me out of hell or the hellish experience. He's talking about his soul inwardly now. He's talking about the reference to God saving him now. Look at this. He says, look at what the word says. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. He's talking about God forgiving him of his sins and bringing him in a right relationship with him and giving him the ability to have fellowship with him. He's talking about God has saved his soul. Now, my brothers and sisters, can I tell you, when you know you're saved? I ain't talking about thinking you're saved. I'm talking about knowing you have a holy attitude. Folk that know they're saved, it's just something about them. They don't act like those believers who don't believe that they're saved. It's something about them. I mean, they walk in the knowledge that I am saved and I am sanctified and I am set free and I am delivered. I am filled with his Holy Ghost. I am sealed. I am a conqueror. Moreover, it's an attitude, because you know you have what he says you have. I don't care if it ain't manifested now. I got it. I am who he says I am. You might not see it now, but it's on the way. It might look like I'm on the bottom, but brother, I want to tell you, he's about to turn that thing upside down and make me on top. Look like you keep finishing last. That's all right. He said, the last shall be first, so you're going to know you're the head. When you are delivered, the devil gets upset because he can't play on you and hang on you and rail on you like he does, telling you you ain't what God says you are. You can look at the devil straight in the face and say, you're a liar. I'm saved because he said. I didn't do anything to deserve being saved in the first place. So my salvation is because of his graciousness, his righteousness, and his mercifulness. But look at this now. You got to get your soul saved and know that it is well with you before your tears are dry up. Oh, y'all ought to hear me here. Now, that's why some of y'all are still whining and crying all the way. Every time you look, God cry. Listen, it's all right to cry momentarily, but why can't those tears be some tears of joy sometimes? Why, when you start crying and somebody pats you on the back, you go, ah, rather than when they say, it's all right, you say, yeah, it's all right. That's why I'm crying, because these are tears of joy. If you knew what he has done for me, you'd be crying also. Some tears of joy. Listen at this though. Listen. David gives us some insight. He has delivered my soul from death, and delivered is the continuum here in the trend of thought in this verse. So not only has he delivered me from death, but he's delivered me from my tears. Some of you ought to just be sick and tired of crying. Y'all ought to hear me here. I said, some of you ought to be sick and tired. Listen, David sees the tears of depression and oppression as a weight and a burden of something that needs to be released from. So when he talks about these tears, he's talking about them in a negative sense. They ought to reach a point in your time when you say, devil, I ain't crying no more. I done dropped my last tear. I done wiped my eye for the last time about this matter. I'm putting it in the hands of the Lord, and you ain't gonna make me cry no more. And can I tell you, the devil seen and invisible gets worried when they can't make you cry no more. Oh, y'all ought to hear me. Because you need to know the devil knows how, and he loves how to say things that make you cry. Do things that make you cry. But when you've been delivered from tears, they can do them, and they're like waiting, and you're like, well, maybe I'll do this. And you just look at them, and no tears fall, and they want to know what happened. Just tell them, I've been delivered from the tears. Y'all ought to hear me here. Listen, because he ain't through yet here. He's been delivered from something else here. He says, and my feet from falling. Oh, can I tell you, when your soul is right with God, tears will dry up in your eyes. And if your tears dry up, then it means you can see where you're going. And if you can see where you're going, you won't fall in the traps the devil been making you fall in. Y'all ought to hear me here. See, that's why some of us are always going off the road, going in the wrong direction, because we always wiping our eyes and can't see where we're going, and the tears are coming down. But when he dries up the tears, you can say like the songwriter of the world said, I can see clearly now. Y'all ought to hear. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Because you can cry so much till it look like it's raining on the outside. But if you just wipe your own tears, the sun will start shining and you can see where you're going. Look at this here. Look at this. And I'm closing. Look at what the word says. And my feet from falling, I-N-G. You know why you keep making the same mistake over and over? Falling. And notice it's a state, listen, brothers and sisters, of continual decline. When you're in sin or when you're out of the will of God, you always continue to fall. And notice he didn't put it in a past tense state. But he puts it in a continual state because God will continually keep you from falling and going down, 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 and down when you have gotten it straight with him. And so then he talks, look at this, in verse 9, I will walk. Can I tell you, brothers?